So hi, this is Gavin from FE News. I'm here having a virtual coffee with Mims Davies, who's the Minister for Employment and just coming up to her 2 years in the role. How are you, Mims?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm quite astounded that it's been 2 years, but actually it really has, because when I started, we were in a jobs miracle. And we mustn't forget that, you know, less than 2 years ago, we had unemployment at a 45-year low. And of course, we've had all of the interventions because of Plan for Jobs here at DWP because of the impact on the jobs market of the pandemic. So I've definitely seen some highs and some challenges, but I'm so proud of DWP. It's been incredible in the way that it's been able to adjust through the pandemic, how UC has been able to support people, and how our job centres are helping people every day, and they've been open for the most vulnerable the whole way through the impact of the pandemic, and we're just really pushing into more face-to-face support at the moment. So brilliant team, and very proud to be a minister here.
That's great. I mean, but what a time, like you said, you've seen the highs and the lows, and like, how many people have been through this, you know, for the last sort of 18 months really, and just trying to put different schemes in place at pace. It's just been, you know, something from outside in, it's been amazing to see, if you know what I mean.
I feel like we had an oracle moment, because it was January at the start of the pandemic that I was meeting with my labour market team, where we were really, you know, starting to look at skills shortages, starting to look, you know, who had the barriers, who wasn't seeing the benefits of this jobs miracle. And that was a big focus for us. And I believe, apparently I said, what about that virus issue in China? Do you think that's going to spread and create as an issue? And we all sort of spoke about that and said, you know, that's on the risk register. And by, March, obviously we were in lockdown. And then by the July, we had the Plan for Jobs announced by the Chancellor. We learnt the new word furlough. I'd never heard of it. And loads had changed, and the department had to react really quickly. And of course, we always keeping an eye on the labour market. We're never at all complacent. And the famous phrase here at DWP, which I don't think can be any more appropriate than it is now, is planning for all scenarios. And boy, have we had to get through them and plan for them in the last couple of years.
Oh, no, 100%. Today, what I'd like to really cover is looking at the employability programmes and the support for this next stage of the pandemic. It feels like we're going into a new stage. But first of all, I wanted to cover one thing really, which from looking outside in, is the joined up approach from the different government departments, Department for Work and Pensions, Department for Education, Treasury, all have looked like they've been working, you know, joined up strategically at pace, which is fantastic. Everyone's been asking for that for, I don't know how long, I've been doing this 18 years. I've been, from day one, I've been hearing that. But what are the longer term plans for that to continue? And what's it been like to be a part of that sort of combined team to see the bigger picture and to roll out different programmes?
I think you're absolutely right. And it's not always the obvious departments that are involved. You know, GEO, who've got a real interest in entrepreneurship and returners and opportunities. But it's certainly, you're right, Gavin. As soon as I came across the DWP from DCMS, the big ask was, can you just join up your asks? Can you make it easier for an employer? Can you make it easier for a potential employee? And I think what we've been able to do before the pandemic and through this, and with things like the lifetime skills guarantee, people really know that at any point in your career, you're going to get that support. And one thing that I'm really keen to talk about around education, around work, is that actually you're always going to be learning and working. That's actually really healthy. That actually it's not a job for life, it's a life of jobs. Don't be afraid about transitioning. Don't be afraid about learning. We do it all the way along. And one thing that's so important when we engage with the DfE and work with colleagues is just having that conversation with schools and colleges that education is absolutely not done only at school. Actually, you're going to be doing that throughout your life. And if you get that mindset from day one, that will really boost your confidence and your opportunities. And as a government, it's been imperative that we make it easier for people, whether they're looking at a traineeship or an apprenticeship. They don't care or how the funding works and where it comes from. They want to know that actually if they're going to be losing their job or if something's going on in their life when they need more skills and opportunities, then actually it's there for them. And that's one of the reasons that we've created our youth hubs. So at DWP, we've got nearly 50 open now. We'll hopefully have imminently over 110 open. That's for the under 25s, specifically to support people with that signposting, whether it's a traineeship, an apprenticeship. Is there something going on in your home life? Is something chaotic? Do you need budgeting or home or housing support? What's going on with your educational needs? Have you actually missed the boat on some of the stuff that you really do need more? It's a place that you can come and talk about those basic skills that you might be missing. So I've seen them opening in Caterham, in Rotherham Football Club, just recently in Winsford. They are up and down the country in all different places with different partners, including the Prince's Trust, so that we know that if you're at that point in your career, you need help and signposting. You've got all the stakeholders, you've got DWP and your local council, and everyone dialed in, working together. And that's all linked into the local recovery plans as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it's that having, again, a joined up approach again and sort of just helping people. It's holistic, isn't it? You know, like around the whole area around how do you, you know, remove those barriers or help remove those barriers into work, really, isn't it?
Just did a select committee and there was four different ministers around green jobs there. So, you know, from DEFRA, from BEIS, obviously DfE and ourselves. And that sums it up. We've all got skin in the game and we've got to absolutely be there and make it work for people. And that's what Levelling's Up is really about.
Yeah, 100%. Can we talk about young people in a bit more detail again as well? Particularly around Kickstart, because Kickstart coming to a close in, from what I understand, in December, like 2021. What are the plans sort of moving forward for 2022? Because the pandemic's still here and it's just like, how do we support people beyond Kickstart? What other programs have you, we talked about youth hubs, what other things have we got in sort of in the pipe or sort of rolling out in more depth?
Well, let's just talk about the here and now, actually, because the Future Jobs Fund created a lot of jobs, but the Kickstart programme from the announcement last July to the formulation of the policy, we looked at youth training scheme, we looked at Future Jobs Fund, we looked at everything that had gone before, designed it across the summer. In September, people could start applying. November, we started getting our first applications in, new recruits going in from December. And in fact, last month, we had 500 Kickstarters every day starting work. We've got over 30,000 and we've got over 100,000 roles advertised across DWP. So anybody listening to this, young person, parent, grandparent, employer, make sure that you're dialed into Kickstart. Make sure that your young people know those opportunities are there, from working in Seek Help to working with llamas, vegan chocolate factories, social media, working with Liverpool Football Club. There is amazing opportunities out there. And I want to thank the employers and gateways. We've got over 900 gateways working particularly with smaller employers to bring these roles into place and give that wraparound support and employability to our young people. So it's really exciting. And we've got, at the moment, approved 219,000 jobs. That's phenomenal, given the tiers and lockdowns and impact that we've had. So don't forget, we will still be having those placements up to December this year, because it's 6 months, subsidised by the government, 25 hours a week, and employers can give more hours and pay more as much as they like. But it means that those young people are going to get that start. So although Kickstart, in terms of people's mindset, is really coming into what next, the here and now is really important for me, because some of those young people and the people I've met in Peterborough, the B&M store, you know, just last week, they've been sitting in their bedrooms for a year and a half wondering just what's going to happen to them. So those people on that programme right now is so important. Really pleasingly, many of the young people are already be offered full-time jobs and are going into full-time jobs, converting into traineeships and apprenticeships. So for me, the future of Kickstart is the outcomes for the young people, to make sure that we've not got that pandemic generation, that scarring effect that previous recessions have had. And I'm really excited about what it can deliver. And that, again, is why, Gavin, it's so important that we're dovetailing in with DfE, that we're working with local recovery plans, that we're working with local employers and the needs on the ground through Job Centre Plus, to make sure that those young people are then following into the labour market. And also, some people are going to go back to education. They're going to realise that their maths and English needs extra help. or indeed they're going to think that actually it's giving them the confidence to go to the sector that they really want to go into. So Kickstart is going to have a massive legacy. I really, really thank the Chancellor and the team at DWP for bringing that together. But above all, employers and gateways for stepping up, because it's literally been 0-60 in terms of getting people into those roles. And of course, lots of those young people are only now seeing their work coach for the first time, having that face-to-face chat and finding out all those roles are out there. So please use the Job Help website. It's got an under 25 section there that will link you into Kickstart. And we're working really hard at the moment to try and help young people to see what's going on in their area. But if they don't know what's happening, link into the work coach. If you're on Universal Credit, we can help you.
And what can we learn from Kickstart? Because like you said, there's massive numbers there. Employers have been really keen to support this. You know, 219,000 vacancies. We've got 30,000 placements. There's a desire from employers. We've had a vacancy since November, and we're still waiting to fill that. And I'm sure other people are there as well. But what can we learn for other programs? How can we, you know, there's that desire from employers to help, do you know what I mean? To make a difference. How can we leverage that for other programs? Do you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of people still wanting to help and to move this forward. You know, there's a lot of vacancies.
Well, firstly, Gavin, let me get your vacancy filled. That's really, really key. And a lot of people don't know that the jobs are out there, and with the tiers and the lockdowns and the impact. And some people can wait for those vacancies, and some people have been, you know, able to fill them quickly. And we've been trying to do that on a kind of basis that, you know, if you need them now, that's the priority. But the reality is we're now moving in from approving all of those roles to getting the right people in. And it isn't just a question of, you know, shoving some young person into a role. It's got to work both sides, for the employer, for the young person. It's got to be meaningful. It's a proper job. You've got to apply for it. And actually, we have had an issue with a lot of people not realizing, just because you've been referred for the job, you haven't just magically got there. You've actually got to go through the placement. So I was speaking with the team yesterday. We're doing loads of job fairs and job matching and really getting young people in quickly, because I think some people are a little bit nervous. They don't feel maybe their CV's ready. So they're not even going for the roles that they're right for. So really giving that a massive push to make sure that nobody's waiting to get those vacancies filled. I think the other thing is a lot of the government programs, you've been able to apply, get your money or support fairly quickly. The right person coming into your particular sector or business is not the same thing. We've got to get that right, but we do need to speed it up, because there's a safeguarding issue here, and there's also taxpayers' money. So all of that needs to be thought about. So it's a massive push now to make sure that by December we get into those 250,000 placements, which is, you know, so key for us. But the outcome is right for the young person is key as well. So, you know, we're not pushing people into the wrong direction. But actually helping people to understand, particularly I was at a holiday park in Wales, not on holiday, I hasten to add, with Kickstarters just a couple of weeks ago up in Aberconwy. And actually young people realising that actually there's maintenance, there's all the gardening, there's loads of different roles. Met a young lady who wanted to be a joiner. They'd been joiners in her family for years. This is her start. So actually explaining the breadth of roles in sectors as well. And that's where work coaches really come into play, because young people and everybody, we don't always really know what's under the skin in terms of some of the roles and opportunities out there. So there's lots to do, Gavin, no doubt about it. But I think we're in a really good place with Kickstart, and we're pushing very, very hard to make sure that it's life-changing. And you asked the question about employers, why have they taken it up? Must come to that. It's because many of them have said to me that they've wanted to have a more diverse and different workforce. They want a mixture of people. They want to give the opportunity to people down the road. But actually so busy doing the day job, actually they don't always get around to how to think about it. The other thing is quite often application screening processes screen the people out that they want, and they don't mean to. It's just the way that the, you know, the interview process or the CV stuff is structured. And that's why we're meeting people together in the job centres, getting the employers to have a chat with the young person. And actually young people are leaving with jobs. You know, the other day a jobs fair, over 100 in London left with a job just by having a chat with the employer, not feeling too pressured about it. that employer then being able to meet the people down the road and go, yeah, that's the person I want. And that's been brilliant. So we need to help people because they're busy running their businesses, but also we need to make sure that people aren't accidentally not making their workforce more diverse. So we need to make sure that employers are thinking about that they're what they're doing and not accidentally screening people out when what they really want is more people in.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's removing that sort of gatekeeper to make it, increase diversity, give more opportunities, and to help people, you know, to have got that opportunity to grow, isn't it, really? That's what we're sort of looking
at. And I do, I've got to say, I guilt the employers into that, Gavin. I think we should all look back to our first employment roles and actually who gave us a chance, who helped us believe in ourselves, whether it was a lecturer or a teacher, or whether it was that first person who gave you that Saturday role or your first 9 to 5, whatever it was. We were not the finished article, far from it, but someone saw something in us and they didn't, you know, the young people now have got a pandemic backdrop and it's hard enough to get started at the best of times, and those people giving the opportunities now know that they didn't have the pandemic to worry about, so it's even more important that they give young people a start.
Yeah, definitely. Can we talk about Restart and sort of what we can sort of see with Kickstart, how that sort of worked? What could that then mean for adults sort of moving forward? What's the sort of plans to move forward with this?
So it's a 3-year programme. We've been working on it alongside the Plan for Jobs. So it's been a really busy year, getting more work coaches in, extending our DWP estate, putting together Restart and Kickstart, delivering Kickstart as well. We've also got 2 interventions, JFS and JETS. So for people 3 months unemployed or 6 months unemployed, extra and over the support from the work coach. But actually this new programme Restart is just under £3 billion. It is very much linked into local economies. It's very much linked into working with local partners. And it's absolutely about those people who've been 1 year unemployed, about really helping them to transition, get the skills, confidence, add on skills to whatever's going on and make sure that they're not left behind. And I'm delighted about the programme. So we've been doing some trials, we're nearly ready to press go and we'll start to see people in the program by July. But what's really good is as we come to the end of furlough and we move into kind of September, October, we'll be in the groove with Restart. So for those people who found that they haven't got a job at the end of this or they want to do something different, that program's there for them at DWP.
That led into my next question totally, actually, around furlough. So and you sort of looking at Restart will be the natural place for people that maybe have been furloughed all the way through, so not actually been on Universal Credit or anything like that, they've still been, you know, furloughed. What would that mean for them sort of moving forward?
So our work coach is so excited, Gavin, because they've never had such a breadth of stuff for people at any stage of their career. And you're very mindful at furlough, you could be over 50, you could not have been expecting not to go back to that sector or that role, and it could be really, really disappointing and difficult for you. So we've got Restart, we've got JETS and JFS, as I say, but also we've got our sector-based work academy program that has been going great guns. And in fact, we've done last year 65,000 people through swaps, and we're planning 80,000. So what on earth are swaps? These are sector-based work academy programs where you get an element of training and on-the-job learning and work experience for up to 6 weeks with a guaranteed interview at the end. They work really well for construction, hospitality, all different areas that we really need people in. And they also give you those skills. So whether it's knife skills or hygiene certificates, if it's care, it will give you the safeguarding information and the certificates that you need. Construction, we get you the card that you need and you can get out working. And you get that experience on the ground of the job. So if you're not really sure whether that's the sector for you or what's out there, that works brilliantly. So we're going to do 80,000 of them this year. I just recently saw one. It was brilliant up in Stoke-on-Trent. So some guys and girls are joining the rail sector, all different ages, all really keen to go into that sector. They've got that 6 weeks training and learning on the job, being there all weathers, got the experience of the safeguarding and everything that they need to understand. And they know that's an incredibly well-paid and skilled job with a massive breadth of opportunities, and they get guaranteed interviews at the end. And they were absolutely beaming. So it really gives you a chance to dip your toe in the water, but also get some skills at the same time. Also recently saw it at Plumpton College with the skills minister, actually, with Gillian Keegan. In viticulture, so people going into the wine industry, working on the vines, going into a massively growing industry, and it is UK English Wine Week this week, and it's a huge and growing area and massive in terms of export opportunities as well, and we really need more people in there. In fact, actually, from Plumpton College, in every single winemaker across the country, they've got someone who graduated from there who's either running it or making it, and that is absolutely world leading in terms of it as an industry. And I'm so delighted we've got sector-based work academy program going there. So if there's a need or a shortage or opportunities with employers, other areas are logistics and other places, we get them in getting that experience. And I think for those people on furlough, swaps and restart, that extra help, that leaning in is going to be really crucial, because people's confidence is going to be knocked and they need to know how can they transition their skills, where can they go to. And actually there's some really growing sectors and needs in the country, and we know that we had a skills shortage before the pandemic. And some areas are really motoring, and those shortages haven't changed. In fact, they're getting more acute.
Yeah, no, very, very much. And yeah, you know, for you around your local area with the winemaking in the Sussex region, you know, pioneering at the minute. So I'm really pleased that you
got that coming. I do my fair share of supporting that industry, I must say. I find it, I can't buy anything if it's, you know, sparkling or whatever and it's not from the area, because, you know, into Kent as well, there's some fabulous stuff and it really is amazing. So I'm doing my bit buying British there, I promise you, Gavin.
And you're leading into my next question around levelling up and supporting, you know, the plan really around sort of being strategic around meeting those regional needs. So like, you know, winemaking in, you know, Sussex and Kent is obviously a massively growing area. But, you know, is there more plans to actually look at bigger picture and be joined up with the different departments again around sort of looking at what the regional needs are and levelling up again to be able to help people pivot or to help people new emerging that have maybe not had the start that, you know, that they wanted because of the pandemic? You know, is there sort of a bigger plan around levelling up and employability support to get people there?
Yeah, absolutely. So our local job centres really know the labour market. So I want to tell people, don't be sniffy about job centres. Job Centre Plus has completely changed. If you haven't been to a job centre for whatever reason for a long time, you're going to find your experience is vastly different. So I would say to anybody coming off furlough or who wants to progress and earn more, because we've got a progression commission, which the Secretary of State commissioned before the pandemic, reporting very soon. People also want to be more resilient because of the pandemic. They don't want to just be making ends meet. They want to know that actually their sector or is growing, and actually that, you know, whatever happens, they're going to be all right. And we need to help people with that through levelling up. And so it's been a big focus for me in this role to listen to local communities, work with local mayors, work with local councils, and really listen to voices, because a coastal labour market is vastly different to a rural one. You can walk perhaps into Birmingham and get loads of support to be entrepreneurial, whereas actually your options might be more limited in a rural area, but actually your support is again as limited. So it's really important that we understand those local labour markets, and that's how we do it with our national employer partnership teams and our also local labour market outreach through the job centre ourselves. So if we hear about a large employer that needs more people or is in trouble, we're right in there making sure they get the right people, or that people that sadly might be being displaced are moving across to somewhere else, so that they don't end up at any point needing to be unemployed. If you've got a job, it's much quicker and easier to get another job, and we're really aware of that. So in all of the programs that we've got, including Restart, we've got a really strong link into local economy and local partnerships. And also, as we look to the next stage of UKSBF and other things, that's really, really important. Again, it goes back to some of my early comments about, you know, making sure that post-pandemic, it's not the people with the most barriers who come out again still with the biggest barriers, because we haven't fixed what's going on in their community and what their challenges are. And that's where Flexible Support Fund works brilliantly. So we've got Wheels to Work schemes down in Cornwall and other areas that we're supporting, and I hope to do more on that. We will put a wheel on your car. We will help you with a new suit. Anything that is a barrier or is a trap, something that's troubling you, where Flexible Support Fund can come in, whether it's additional help with childcare, we will be there to make sure that those aren't the things holding you back from getting into work. We've also brought in Flexible Support Fund for those in light touch UC, so help people to earn more and move into to work quicker, and that's something that our job coaches have asked for us. So Secretary of State and I meet regularly with, we've got focus groups. She's a big popper in her. We just rock up at job centres. We do formal ones as well, but we really do like listening to what's going on the ground from the staff, and that's really linked to what's going on in local labour markets.
Yeah, no, that's really, really cool. There's been a lot of coverage in the press recently around skills gaps that are quite acute, sort of in hospitality, for example, at the moment. Logistics, HGV drivers, all sorts of stuff. What are the plans to address this? Because there's skills gaps, there's needs. How do you I haven't got the answer, but I'm sure you've got teams that have, if you know what I mean. What's the sort of the solution for the way forward with that?
Well, sadly, this isn't new in some sectors, and I call them the Cinderella sectors as well. There are some areas there people, quote, don't want to work in. I don't actually think that's true. It's actually quite a lot of people don't understand the breadth of the opportunities there. So care, for example, isn't only about caring in a care home. It could be one-to-one support for a young adult or someone with particular needs. It can be being the accountant. It can be doing the food or the maintenance or the gardening. There's so many different opportunities in care. So don't let, prejudices or perceptions put you off going into a sector, because you can find it really fulfilling. And that's where swaps have worked brilliantly well. And that's where we've combined Kickstart and swaps. And I know up in Forres in Scotland, they did a brilliant care academy, particularly with chaps moving from, I think, heavy industry, I think it was in the tyre industry, who many of them have gone into care work and actually found it fantastically fulfilling. Some of them doing one-to-one support, which means like taking someone brilliant to the football and supporting them with their lives. So, just be aware that your perception about particular sectors and what those jobs are like don't always match. So we need to break down that challenge massively and absolutely deal with some of the structural problems that were there before. And that was what I was working on way back in January 2019. So that's where sector-based work academies really come into play, working with DfT to sort out with the testing and the delays when it comes to the logistics side. In fact, in our JETS programme, we've had over 100,000 people starting in that. We've had about 13,000 people getting job outcomes early on. Many of them have gone into the logistics sector, and in fact, many of them in the Northwest, because that's actually been a really growing area for them, and we've been able to pivot that in. So it's knowing stuff like that that works really importantly. And that's why job fairs and outreach with our work coaches and employers works brilliantly. And that's why getting the employers into the job centres and talking to our claimants and talking to work coaches about the opportunities really matter. And it's got to be a cross-government answer. It's got to be each department taking responsibility for their needs. I'm also very keen as well that we look at returners. I see furlough similar to returning to work. So we've got lots of new start opportunities, whether it's into teaching or other areas, but we know we need more people in mental health. We know we need more teachers. What are we doing about making sure that those people with the skills are coming back into those sectors? And refresher courses, we could get people back in where confidence is low, but they are similar to furlough. And actually many of those people need to know that they're going to have to work longer, that pensions are going to take a longer time to come. And that's why we've got things like the midlife MAT, which our pensions minister does, to really help people to know, how long have you got to work for, Do you need to be back in work? All of those things. And that goes back to the resilience point that I was mentioning earlier. If you are in control of things, then you're in a much better place, and absolutely determined to work cross-government to do everything that we can, that we're not overlooking the talent down the road. You know, it's really easy to go to Home Office and say the answer is to do what we did before, but that was creating the shortages. So until we've tried to fix that and make sure we're not overlooking the talent that we've got in our own communities, I don't think the first port of call should be the Home Office. It should be how can we work with job centres, local stakeholders, with education, with everyone, to make sure that everybody is getting the opportunities to be part of the labour market, because you know the confidence that comes with the wage packet in a job and the network and positivity it gives you.
Yeah, 100%. Can I ask you one thing? I've had a few people say this to me, and you covered so much brilliant stuff there, is around support. I'm not really into levels or pigeonholing people, but level three qualifications up to that sort of, if someone hasn't got a level three, there's a lot of support in place. But what about those that have got a level three? There seems to be a bit of a thing going around in the sector. I mean, well, how can we support people that have already got level three to be able to go into work? And it sounds like there's loads of schemes that you've got or pilots and all sorts of things happening, which people may not have heard about. So what would you sort of suggest would be the way that people can support people that have already got level three qualifications that have been displaced that need to go into new roles?
So I've been talking to Gillian and her team about how we bolster up the National Career Service so that people know where to turn when it comes to lifetime skills guarantee. And that's why we've got the Job Help website. And that has got a lot of DWP stuff there, but it's also got DfE. So it's got that digital digital toolkit for skills. That's the one. So, you know, people can get loads of free courses and loads of free support through there. They can also, if you're on Universal Credit, talk to their work coach. They can message, you know, I'd like to take on some more learning and skills. They can also use the youth hubs if they're under 25. But I think you're right, Gavin, we need to make it an easier one-stop shop for people if they want to be more resilient and they want to earn more and they want to progress more. And that's certainly at the heart of what we're thinking going forward as well. I agree with you, it's not all there yet, but it's definitely where we're headed and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And my last question is looking to the future, really. Can we talk about the green economy in the fourth industrial revolution? This big, big, exciting thing for me. I love fourth industrial. So what is the world of work has just transformed, and the pandemic seems to have sped it up quite a lot. And there's been all of the world, everything was happening in the world before the pandemic. But what's this meant for DWP and how you're supporting people for the future, you know, for those roles that don't exist yet? How's that sort of coming into play, and what are the plans to bring that to now, you know, that we, how we can support people, like you're saying, learn, be lifelong learners, to have those sort of stackable skills, to be able to pivot, to learn to be a learner. How can we support people for those jobs that don't exist yet?
Well, personally, I don't like the word upskilling. It really annoys me, because people can be brilliantly well skilled. It's about add-on skills and stackable skills. I like that. So I think we've got to just be careful about how we talk about this, because people could have had very successful and brilliant careers, but just things are changing and we can't make that a negative. We've got to help people along and buy them into the next stage of their career and this change to net zero. And we've got to make it positive, else we're not going to get there. And it's, you know, unfair to people to push them along. We've got to bring them along. So I think there's really important. I think digitalization, as we're meeting this way now, and what we've seen from the pandemic, you know, it's busted through presenteeism, which I think is very exciting in terms of being more inclusive, being more diverse, and actually not just have to be in the room to prove that you're productive. Actually, we're finally busting through that, and it means that, you know, employers can be more flexible, more inclusive. But we also can't be middle class about this. Let's be honest, not everyone's got a great garden room to sit and work in. Actually, many people's, you know, social life and everything else fits around work and is important to them. And if you're in your 20s and you spent the last couple of years working in the same room, you haven't got, you know, confidentiality, you've got limited space because it's all shared. That's not the same experience for many people. Having said all of that, You know, if I had a penny for every time people say they want a green job or a digital job, they want them now and they want to know how it looks. So I think there's a fantastic opportunity to learn through the pandemic, take what's good and what's right for people, be more inclusive, be more diverse, but we've got to do it in a positive way and bring people on that journey. And we do know that technological and green changes can create a huge amount more jobs, and we want more of them to be our jobs. For example, lots of the green technology and energy, you know, we're reliant on knowledge from elsewhere, so we need more of that homegrown, and we need to make sure that that works positively in local labour markets. So I think it's all to play for and to gain. I think what we've seen from this pandemic is we've got an incredibly agile, brilliant labour market. Some people have stepped up incredibly, going into shortage areas, you know, becoming supermarket drivers and helping with logistics. And I really want to thank those people alongside the NHS and our teachers and our job centre staff who've been frontline and front of centre. And what we've seen is actually we really do value many of these jobs more than we ever did coming into the pandemic. So actually we can stop being job snobs and we can be a bit more appreciative of those people putting the hours and the time in. So I think this is all to play out, but I think we've got to nudge it in the right direction so that it works for diversity and inclusion, that local people aren't overlooked, local labour markets work, and that we make sure that this is something that we really, really benefit from. There'll be difficult times and there'll be angular problems like there always is. But I do genuinely think for the presenteeism issue, we're really busting it through. I think productivity, you know, it's we're going to have a look at that and see how that goes. I did think working at home was watching Home and Away and, you know, catching up with the washing. And I can tell you, I've done hours and hours of working at home nonstop. And actually, you can be very productive and not get any of that done. So we've got to make sure as well that people get that work-life balance. We support their well-being and everything that goes with it. So lots to play out and learn from. But I think as a country, as a workforce, we're well up to it and for it. And at DWP, with our plan for jobs, we will be at the heart of the next stage, whatever it looks like, making sure people thrive and progress.
That's fantastic. Mim Davies, thank you so much for taking time out to chat this all through. And it's just to really be able to help people know that there's those support structures in place, how they can help other people with this next stage of the pandemic, how they can support them, how they can help them, not just into a placement or a stopgap, but a career, a sustainable career, to be able to help them, help their families, help their communities, and then everyone across the UK. So thank you so much for your time today. I so appreciate it.
Thanks, Gavin. Enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Why not click subscribe so you can be informed when the latest next individual podcast or podcast mini-series from FE News are going to be released.